If you've discovered that you are an emotionally abusive person and you want to change that and improve and maybe even save your relationships, Healed Being is the essential step-by-step program that I created that will help you do just that. Sign up for the first four lessons for free over at healedbeing.com, and I'll provide you with everything you need to show up as the best version of yourself and change your life for the better. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello, this is Paul Coliani, and I want to help you learn the skills you need to deal with life's challenges using emotional intelligence and critical thinking without compromising who you are. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. So glad that you are here once again today. If you are a longtime listener, if not, welcome to the show. I talk about all kinds of stuff on this show, mostly having to do with emotional intelligence and relating to people, and how to adjust your behavior depending on the circumstances. Sometimes you want to show up as authentically as you possibly can because you feel comfortable in your own skin to do that. And then sometimes you have to adjust your behavior for the circumstances or for the people around you. I don't really like adjusting my behavior for other people, but sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes it takes away the conflict and the resistance. You show up as you are and they show up as they are. And if there's always resistance when you do that, it's not pleasant. And sometimes it's not worth it. Sometimes we just have to choose to adjust our behavior a little bit to get through the next hour or day or week or even longer. I think the problem or the problems start when we have a relationship and we're in that relationship every day and we are adjusting ourselves. We are compromising ourselves and we are not showing up as authentically as we want to. And when we can't show up as authentic, what ends up happening is that we create tension and resistance and stress in the body. And when that happens, we walk around feeling triggered or on the verge of feeling emotionally triggered. And what I mean by that is something could set you off. So if you're not being as authentic as you want to be, then it's hard to be real. It's hard to feel good. It's hard to be happy. My other podcast, Love and Abuse, over at loveandabuse.com, I talk about that. I talk about difficult relationships and difficulty in communicating. And I talk about control and manipulation and emotional abuse, everything that you don't want in a relationship. And so how do you show up differently? We can all just throw on our authentic clothes, our authentic proverbial hat, and say, this is me. This is exactly who I am, take it or leave it. And if we say that, there is a great chance you will lose a relationship or one or more relationships in your life. There's a great chance of that happening. And that's a choice. You can make that choice to be yourself, be authentic, and risk those relationships. I like doing that. I like being myself. I want to keep people in my life that honor me being myself. I want to be around people that want to be around the real me. And I think that's a very healthy attitude. And at the same time, I have no problem adapting when needed. I grew up as an adapter. I grew up as a people pleaser. So I would adapt myself to all these situations. And it was very dysfunctional at the time when I was doing it. I would do it in my romantic relationships. When you do that, when you are an adapter or a people pleaser in your romantic relationships, they suffer. Because the person that you're supposed to have the most love and trust with, the strongest bond with, they don't know the real you. You're only showing them the you that you believe they want to see. And so I learned to do that at a very young age because growing up in an alcoholic household and watching my mom try to keep that alcoholic away from us by constantly doing things to buffer him between him and us. And that buffering involved a lot of people pleasing. And so I learned to create these buffers in my life. And many of us, maybe somebody like you listening, have created buffers in your life. May not be people pleasing. It just might be adaptive behaviors. I'm adapting to this situation, this relationship, this person. I'm adapting so that I can survive at the worst level, or just get through the day at not such a bad level. And sometimes it's just so we don't have to argue, so there's no stress. And so we do these adaptive behaviors, and when we do that, we are not our authentic selves. If you go through your life doing more adaptive behaviors than being your authentic self, it builds up. It builds up as negativity in the body. I call it resistance. It can be an inner conflict, inner struggle. And when we carry those around, we are more likely to be emotionally triggered by things, even small things. We are more likely to be unhappy. We are more likely to be dissatisfied. We are more likely to not feel gratitude because we have this negativity, this conflict, this resistance, this stress, this tension inside of us. How do you move past that? The secret, or at least one of the secret components to moving past all the negativity and the stress and the inner conflict, is authenticity. I had somebody write to me recently and say, how do I emotionally connect? How do I discover that? I've been judgmental toward my partner, and I've learned a lot, and I've evolved emotionally in a lot of ways, but it might be too late. And now I'm wanting to connect, but I don't really feel like I'm emotionally available for her. I don't think I'm enough. I don't think I'm doing enough. So how do I do that? How do I emotionally connect when I was told as a kid, just shut up and deal with it? I was told that maybe it wasn't okay to cry. Maybe it wasn't okay to complain. Just shut up, shut your mouth, and move on. And when you learn that as a kid, and that doesn't change, it's difficult to connect emotionally. And there's a lot of, there are quite a few emotionally disconnected people. Some of them are even sociopaths. I hope that's not who I'm talking about today, if you know somebody like this, or if it's you. But some of them go to the extreme. If they have really very little emotional connection, they can get into antisocial personality disorder. And of course, even worse, psychopath. So I'm not going to that extreme today, but that's where it can lead. If you have no emotional connection, you're not connected to your emotions that are natural inside of you, and they want to be expressed, they want to be felt. If you're not connected to that, or somebody you know is not connected to those emotions, then who are you? What happens to you? Where do you go from there? Do you just go through life as a practical person? Star Trek Vulcan cutting off the emotions? Or an android? Bring in some sci-fi here. But it's true. If there's no emotional connection, what does that make you? And I'm not putting you down. If you're having trouble connecting with your emotions, that's what I'm talking about today. I want to help you connect with those emotions, because happiness feels good. Even feeling comfortable feels good. And having emotions feels good, because sometimes something occurs in your life and you need to express, you need to feel. You need to feel what it's like. It might be pain. It might be pleasure. Now there's physical emotions. We know what the physical feeling, or it should be like a physical feeling of emotion, is pleasure. We could feel pleasure. We could feel sex. We could feel a back rub. We could feel all kinds of physical pleasures. But how do we connect that to our emotional state? And a lot of people can do that and should do it, in my opinion. I believe everyone should have that physical, good physical feeling connected to their emotional state. Otherwise, it's fleeting. It's a fleeting feeling and emotion. Now, emotions aren't meant to last. They come and go, and that makes sense. But there's still an overall feeling. There's I carried with me an overall feeling of negativity for many years because I was people pleasing. I wasn't being my authentic self, and it was very hard to connect with people because as somebody who adapts and believes they are showing up the way I believe they want me to show up, if I show up that way, then they'll like me, then they'll love me, then they'll pay attention to me, then I can be part of their clique or their group as long as I adapt to what I believe they want me to be. That's who I was for a long time. And so when I did that, it was damaging to me. It was disintegrating my emotional connection. And so I had to learn. And it's funny, I'm going to give you a little side story. I started this show in 2013. And when I started, it was difficult for me to connect emotionally. I mean, first of all, I had a lot on my mind. Just starting this podcasting, I have equipment, and now what do? I press record, and then I hope it records, and then I'm finished, and then I hope it came out okay, and then I go back and listen, and I realize, oh, that sounds like crap. I can't believe I just recorded this for an hour. So I had a lot on my mind back then, but I also realized it was too stressful. It was not comfortable enough, and I had to get over that hump. And when I got over the hump of it being more comfortable, I finally learned how to use the equipment, and I finally felt more comfortable talking to basically no one in a room and getting comfortable visualizing you in front of me, talking to you. That really helped. I started feeling more comfortable doing that. And as I felt more comfortable, I started feeling more emotional. I started connecting with more emotions inside of me. Any emotion. I'm talking about happiness, sadness, anger, anything I talked about on the air. But it took a while. It took a while to get there. And so the reason I'm telling you this, the side story, is because there was something that I didn't know back then as well as I do now. I knew about it, but I never really looked into it too much. And that was our inflection. Our voice, our inflections, the way we talk. And so when I'm talking about something sad, my voice will go down. I'm really sad about that. And that really hurts. And I might even have a visual in my mind as I think about it. Oh, my cat died. It was so sad. You can hear my voice inflect differently. It changes. And then when I'm really excited and I think about something that excites me and I say, I can't wait to do it again, my voice is way up there. You know how long it took me to get comfortable inflecting, using the range of my voice? It took a long time to get used to that. And it took a long time because it was very vulnerable for me. It's like taking off your clothes and for the first time, you're exposing yourself in a way, in a safe environment with somebody you trust. But that's what it feels like. It's a very vulnerable place. It's very exposed because what you're doing is you're expressing something inside you that people don't know about. They don't see it unless you express it. And so it stays very safe inside you, and you learn how to hide it well. And so I learned that I knew how to hide some emotions very well, or my emotional state. And coming on the microphone and doing a podcast, any type of broadcast or being interviewed or anything like that, was at first challenging because it meant taking my proverbial clothes off in front of somebody. Sorry for the visual if somebody is offended. Let me just say, though, it's vulnerable. It's a very vulnerable place. And I'm just talking about inflection. I'm talking about how your voice rises up and down and goes slower and faster, and the pace at which you talk. And even now I have some, I feel some awkwardness, and not anxiety, but some strangeness when there is anything like a pause. Like right now, there's a pause, and I should be recording, shouldn't I, in those pauses? Or should I be okay with those pauses? And if they're too long or they're too short, is somebody going to have to fast forward through these? And so all of these things are part of my authenticity and how I would normally talk. I mean, there are some differences when I talk on the air. I have to emote more on the air because it's hard for you to read unless I'm emoting more. But I'm not inauthentic when I do it. I just have to be more expressive. I have to really put it out there. And if we were together, I wouldn't have to do that as much. I mean, if we were in person, I wouldn't have to do that as much. But for the most part, this is who I am. You can ask my girlfriend. This is who I am. But there is a little bit of difference when you're broadcasting. I mean, you have to amplify your voice in some ways. So the point is, it took me a while to finally get used to inflecting. And the way I had to do that was exaggerate. And so in order to connect with, I know it sounds a little funny, exaggerate. Well, in order to connect with the emotions inside of me, especially when I'm telling a story, I had to learn to feel the emotion and inflect that emotion verbally. So if I was sad, I sort of had to exaggerate and bring my voice down. I had to slow my pace, the pace that I talk. And then I had to visualize what I was sad about. My cat dying, oh my God, that was just so sad. And I know that, there are other things that have happened in my life. My marriage ended and my other relationships ended, and I feel guilty for some of that stuff, and I feel sad, and there are all kinds of emotions that I feel inside. So when I tell these stories, I connect with that emotionally. And if I learned, this is what I did. I learned to inflect what I was feeling. And so this is, I don't know if I'm going to have steps today, but this is one of those things, one of the components of connecting with something emotionally. Even as I tell this story, you could probably tell there's something different about how I'm talking, because I started off the show more like monotone and just talking like this. And now that I'm really starting to feel more comfortable as the episode goes on, I was comfortable at first, but I have to get into a rhythm. And now that I have this rhythm, I feel like I can be more authentic. I broke my own ice. I had to get past that. And so I have these feelings that come over me and these emotions that come over me as I'm talking, just like that laughter. It felt funny to me. So I laughed. It felt good. Just like if I talked about something sad, I would get into that state and that space. And that's, a very vulnerable place. It is showing you who I really am. You know, I'm doing my best to be as transparent as possible, to express this, to let you know that it's okay to do this with certain people. But it is, for the most part, okay to do this. And if you aren't already doing this, it's something to practice. And this isn't the only way to connect emotionally. This is just one. Again, I don't know if this is a steps episode, but this is one way to connect emotionally, is you start inflecting and you visualize what you're thinking about as you talk about it. If somebody you know was hurt or ill or died and you wanted to talk about it, you might feel that as you talk about it. Like some people can just start crying and they'll talk about somebody and the tears will just come out. And then they will just, and it's real. This is a person that isn't afraid to be themselves. And I used to freak out about that. Not them crying, but myself. If I had tears coming up, I didn't want anybody to see my tears. I don't want people to see that. I don't want people to think that I'm weak. I don't want people to think that I'm losing it, that I'm not in control. I can't have people think that. And then I realized that was causing problems by not being vulnerable, by not showing them what I call a strength. Because if you've been somebody to hold back tears and then suddenly you have tears, people are going to look at you differently. And it depends on who it is. You got to stay away from the toxic people, but people who love you, people who want to be around you, people who support you, who you are, people who want you to be who you are, they're going to support you 100%. If you start crying, if you lose it, if you're out of control and you've just gone off the deep end, you are deep in it and you just can't bring yourself back, the people who support you, who want you to be your authentic self, are going to feel connected to you. They're going to love it. They're going to, not going to love that you're sad or hurt, but they're going to love being there for you. They're going to love it. This is part of the whole journey of love. Supporting the person where they are, supporting their individuality, supporting them losing control and just crying when they feel like crying, even getting angry. If somebody can get angry and they're just screaming or just venting, as long as it's not toward you, at you, if they're just so upset that they want to vent and you allow that to happen, you give them that safe space to allow that to happen, they might be able to get it out of their system so they don't carry it around with them. And that can free up some space that was being occupied before by something not so pleasant inside of them. This is why if somebody says, I'm so angry about something, and then somebody else says, just think positively, don't get lost in that anger, just try to think optimistically. That can sometimes be damaging, as well as those intentions are. And as much love from where it comes, that can be damaging in a way that you don't let the person feel it. Now, I've done this, and I'm sure people listening have done this. Some people listening have done this. We want people to feel better. That's our hope for them, that they feel better. And so we'll say stuff like that. Hey, it's going to be okay. You'll feel better. Don't worry. This is going to pass. I say that stuff even now. This will pass. But I don't let them deny their own experience. And I don't think that's something we should do. I don't think we should let people deny their own experience. Hey, you're having an angry moment. Let's get it out right now. What's going on? You're angry. Tell me about it. And then let them vent if they're willing to do that. You're sad about something? Oh my God. You know, if you want to talk to me about it, I'm here. We give them that permission. We don't force it out of them. We say, you know, I'm here if you need me. Go ahead. You want to talk about this? Great, let's do it. Give them that permission. Give them that safe space, that non-judgmental space. And the more you do this with people in your life, the more emotionally connected they'll feel in themselves, and the more emotionally connected they'll feel with you, the more safe they'll feel with you, and the more vulnerable they'll be with you. And vulnerability just means they're allowing their authentic self to show more and more around you. And when they do that, you will feel comfortable enough to show your authentic self around them, and it can be a copacetic, mutually beneficial situation. I spent a good 15 years in Florida. I used to live there a while back, and to say I met a lot of Spanish-speaking people would be an understatement. And I always regretted not learning Spanish. I could have had so many great conversations. That's why I'm grateful for Babbel. If you're looking for a fun and easy way to learn a new language, Babbel is the way to go. I've been taking lessons 15 minutes at a time, learning at a pace that I feel most comfortable. And unlike other language learning apps that rely on AI for their lesson plans, Babbel's lessons were created by over 100 language experts. With Babbel, you get to choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Babbel teaches you practical conversations that you'll actually use in the real world. I never took a language in high school. I can't believe I'm the only person, I think, in the world that's never taken a language. So I never had the opportunity, and this is my opportunity. This is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. And right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code TOB when you're checking out. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Use the code TOB, get your 3 months free. And let me tell you about something else that's going to change your life. It's ZocDoc. I love ZocDoc. I love that I can use this free app to help me find doctors that are patient-reviewed, take my insurance, and are available when I need them. Thousands of medical professionals on ZocDoc are there to help you. They listen like a friend and they give you the expert care you need. Forget about turning to your group chat for health advice. And speaking of questionable advice, have you ever fallen into a TikTok or social media rabbit hole trying to find the cause of your symptoms? I have. Well, no, it wasn't TikTok, but on ZocDoc, you can find experts and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want. Let me just break this down. ZocDoc takes out the doctor roulette and scouring the internet for questionable reviews. ZocDoc is your trusted guide to connect you with your favorite doctor that you haven't even met yet. So use their free app. Millions of users rely on it already. Find the right doctor that meets your needs and fits your schedule. Go to ZocDoc.com/brain and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/brain. ZocDoc.com/brain. And so, that email that I got that said this person, they were so judgmental for so long, and they were just told just to buck up, shut up, and move forward if any emotion comes along. He wants to know, how do you connect emotionally? How do you connect with that emotional stuff inside of you? You know, the secret is vulnerability. The secret is being authentic and allowing yourself to go to places that might be scary to you. Vulnerability is the key to authenticity, is the key to connecting emotionally. So when you're vulnerable, what you're doing is basically saying, this is all of me, or most of me. This is a big part of who I am. And I tell you what, when you are sharing something of you with somebody else that you haven't shared before, a deeper part of you, that's vulnerability, and that gives you the ability to connect emotionally inside of you. So I could share a story of vulnerability, which I have done many times on this show. One of them that just came to my mind right now is when I was 4. And, you know, I was 4, so I was a child, but I felt helpless because as a child, I was trying to sort out what my role was. And, you know, this is an adult talking now, but back then I can look and see what was happening to that little child. And I was trying to sort out my role and if I was even loved, because I lived with an alcoholic, my stepfather, and he pinned me down on the floor and rubbed my dirty underwear in my face. I've done a lot of healing with that. I've actually visited that home and was able to go through some process inside myself where I connected with that little boy that was in trouble, that was being abused. And that was quite a magical moment when I did that as an adult. But coming back to this vulnerable moment for me to share with you that I used to mess my pants. I know I was 4, you know, kids do stuff like this. But it's still very personal to me. It's still something that happened to me. It's something I did. I almost feel like I was responsible for it. At least I did. I feel like that I wasn't being a good son, or stepson in this case, but he was trying to be my dad, and it was hard for both of us because I couldn't be his son and I had a dad, and he drank, so it was very difficult for him to do anything in a healthy way when he was drunk. When he wasn't drunk, he was great. But when he was, he would do these things, and they were terrible. And so that was a story that really was hard to tell. In fact, you may have only heard me say that one other time on the air, and I did say it in one of the patron episodes over in the patron program. And it was a very difficult thing to talk about, and it's a very difficult thing to bring up, mainly because I now have weird phobias regarding that, that are actually associated with something that happened later on in life when I got an enema. And it was just, you know, these things are very vulnerable for me to share with you. Very, very vulnerable. I don't want to, but here I am, even laughing is a sort of a comforting thing that I might do. But I'm doing this. I want you to connect with yourself. I want you to really dig in, dive in, connect with that stuff that may still be in there that you're carrying around. And this episode really is for people that have trouble doing that. And this is how you do it, though. This is how you connect emotionally with other people, is by connecting with yourself, what's going on inside of you. And if you want bonus points, you share your vulnerabilities with other people. Now find someone safe that you feel like if you told them that they wouldn't laugh at you and call you stupid and then say, I don't want to be around you anymore because, you know, you don't want people like that in your life anyway. But if you believe that they have your best interest at heart and they're supportive and they want you to feel comfortable being yourself, those are the people that we share this stuff with. I had somebody write to me once and they said, I live with this person and it's not romantic, but we live together and he's a great guy and I can tell him anything. And I'm holding on to this secret and I don't want to tell him. And I said, or I asked her, what would happen if you told him? That's all I asked. I said, what would happen if you did tell him? What would he do? What would he say? And I think it was the very first time she considered it. She just had it in her mind that she wasn't going to tell. I'm not going to tell anyone this, and it's just my secret. I'm going to hold on to it for the rest of my life. But it was just hurting her inside. She was carrying it, like I was saying. She felt like it was eating away at her. I asked her, what would happen if you told him? And she said, well, he would be supportive and he would say, what's the big deal? Thanks for telling me. And then I think she figured it out herself. I think she figured out what she needed to do next. And I believe that's what she did. I don't know if she wrote back. I forget, but I believe that's what she did. And she had this person in her life that she could trust to tell. And she knew that he would support her to the end of time. And she still held back something inside of her that she could have released. But I don't think she knew the full impact of releasing. I don't think she really understood what releasing meant. What telling somebody of a vulnerability inside of you. Something that you feel embarrassed by or guilty about or ashamed about. And all of these negative feelings that we can have about something. I don't think she realized the impact of letting that out. The impact is letting it out so it can be free. We close it up inside of us and then we put a lock on it and then we swallow the key and the key is somewhere else and we don't want to ever let that out. At least some of these things that go on in our lives. And I said, you know, what would happen if you, in so many words, if you unlocked this box inside of you and you let it out in front of him, you know, you just told him about it. And she said that. She said he would be 100% supportive, and we would probably laugh about it even. I just wanted to say, what are you waiting for? This is it. This is the time to free yourself of this. And I do believe she ended up saying that to him, but I don't have the full story, so I can't really recall it. There, how's that for a cliffhanger? Sorry. But this is the point is, when you have something that you're carrying around, something that you don't like, that doesn't feel good, some sort of secret, some sort of feeling. I'm not saying you have to give away all your secrets. Sometimes we have to hold on to this stuff. Some things will be better left unsaid. Nobody has to know everything about us. But when it's really bothering you, that's something that you can start thinking about expressing. And if you feel already not connected emotionally, and you have something bothering you inside of you, or like this person said, you know, my dad used to say this to us. Do you have any feelings about that? Do you have any feelings about your dad saying that to you? Do you have any anger? I used to carry around hate, and I didn't even know it. I was carrying around hatred toward my stepfather for 30 plus years, 35, something like that. And I didn't even know it because I was told it's not good to hate. I don't even know who told me that. I just thought it wasn't good to hold hate in your heart, so I'm not going to hold it. But what I was doing was denying it. I was just stuffing it down. If any hatred came up, nope, not supposed to feel that. Let's put that back down there, put the double lock on. We don't want that coming back up. And that stayed with me for a long time. Turned into abusive behavior. I was emotionally abusive in my relationships. And the more you hold in, the more you're going to lash out, or you can. The more you can lash out at people, the more you'll be emotionally triggered. And then you'll say something that'll upset somebody else. And then you'll say, well, get over it. Because I don't want to heal from this. I'm not saying you'll say these things, and I'm not saying this is even you. But this was me. This was how I felt. I felt like other people had the problem, even though I had problems inside of me, but I didn't know there were problems. I just wasn't allowing these feelings and these thoughts and these emotions to come up and out of me. I didn't want to release them, and I had to adjust to becoming more authentic. I had to take big leaps, big risks. That's what it felt like, a big risk, a big leap of faith that felt like I was jumping into a chasm. Where does this chasm go? Is there a bottom? Is it all spikes? Is it a soft, fluffy cloud? Turns out it's a little bit of both sometimes. But it is the overcoming part. It's like the peak of pain that leads to the breakthrough when we finally feel better inside ourselves. And so this is how I tell people or share with people at least a couple ways to emotionally connect with yourself, connect with the feelings, the thoughts, what you're going through inside yourself. And it may take some deep digging. Like one of the questions I like to ask myself, is there anybody in my life I really don't like? And what feelings and thoughts do I have about that person? Oh, that one guy who screwed my parents, he conned them. I wish I could. So how do I feel about that? Am I carrying that around? Is it something that if I got my vengeance, for example, would it go away? I'm not suggesting that. But I'm going through this scenario in my mind. I'm going through an exercise. My exercise is, if I met this guy in person and I punched him in the face, how would that feel? Would I get closure? If I didn't get closure, then what else is going on there? What else do I feel? Well, my parents got conned. Well, how does that feel? It makes me angry. Well, how can you resolve this? That might be a question. How can you resolve this anger? And I might say, well, I know that if I punch that guy in the face, for example, that it would make me feel better. Would that resolve the anger? Maybe. I won't lie. But at the same time, that's not who I am. And then after I did that, then I'd feel like, oh, crap, you know, this happened 35 years ago. And who knows, maybe this person is different or maybe not. These are just the thoughts that you can have as you go through the events in your life and the people in your life. Because sometimes you just have to think about it. Sometimes you have to think about what has happened in your life. Who wronged you? Who hurt you? Who had no intention to hurt you, but hurt you anyway? Who had the best intentions for you, but you hate them? Or you don't think you hate them because you shouldn't hate them because you have some denial program going on that says, well, I shouldn't hate that person because they tried their best. But if it's in there, it might be time to express it. I'm not saying you have to tell anyone, just saying that sometimes you just have to think about it, bring it up to the forefront of your mind, visualize what you're seeing, you know, the memory, maybe hear it, whatever they said, and just bring it up for evaluation. How do I feel about that event? How do I feel about that person? Am I still carrying that with me? You'll feel that. You'll feel that question. Am I still carrying that person with me? Am I still angry at that person? My girlfriend and I have these conversations sometimes, and she has anger. She's carrying around some anger toward people, and she'll say, whoa, I got to let that go. I got to work on that. I still have that inside of me. I've got to work on that, and that's good. And so when you are carrying it around, I think it needs to be addressed. And if someone's listening now that doesn't have that emotional connection and you still can't access it, I think my question to you would be, when was the last time it was there? When was that last emotional feeling inside of you, or at least the connection to your emotions? When was it there? And when did it go away? And why did it go away? What happened to make that happen? Because there's a gap, right? There's a gap between, or a bridge, really. There's a bridge between when you had emotions, or you were connected to them, and then you didn't, and you were disconnected. Something happened on that bridge. It may have been a buildup over the years, but something happened. And sometimes when we discover what happened, we can unravel it, and it will loosen the grip that it has on us. And when it loosens, we can start to feel better and not feel so tightly wound up as we walk around, because we're able to identify it. And there's one thing I've learned over and over again. When you identify the true source of a feeling or an emotional state, I mean, the true source, it might have to go pretty deep. That's why I drill down. I drill down into the feelings I have. Oh, I'm angry. What am I angry about? Well, I'm angry that that person cut me off. Yeah, but what about that makes me angry? Well, I feared for my life. Okay, that might make you angry, but why? Why were you angry because you were fearing for your life? And that might sound like a silly question, but it's a good question. Let's keep drilling into it. What makes you angry about fearing for your life? Well, I don't want to be afraid for my life. Why? Are you afraid of dying? Whoa. That might be a deeper question. Well, of course I'm afraid of dying. Why? And you drill down and you drill into these fears and these emotions that we have. And when you do, you start to discover some stuff inside yourself. Stuff that's really obvious when you think about it practically and logically. But when you start to connect with it by going through a process like that, just asking yourself questions, that's when you might find, you should find, or at least get close to finding the true origin of an emotional state or a state of mind, a feeling that you're carrying around. What about that makes me upset? Why does that make me upset? Why is this still pervasive in my life? Why does this still exist? What is the unfinished business I'm carrying around inside of me? Why can't I get past it? What would happen if I did get past it? What would happen if I didn't have this feeling anymore? Why would I think that? Because you probably never did in some cases. But what would happen if you didn't have this feeling anymore? Because some people are going to say, well, if I didn't have this feeling anymore, then they got away with it. What you're doing is you're carrying a burden. of something that somebody else did, probably to you, in that case. When you carrying around anger or some sort of negative feeling towards someone else because they wronged you, for example, you're carrying around a burden, and that burden is on you from something that they did to you. It's like a double whammy. You get hit twice, the wronging they did at first, and then the burden of being angry about that wronging or being upset, and you can't get past it. This is where I'm going to end it, but this is why I say forgive yourself a break. Forgive yourself for how you showed up back then. When somebody wrongs us, there's often a part of us that feels like we got duped or conned or should have done better. And if we don't forgive that part of ourselves, then we can carry that around with us. And we think that the emotions that we're feeling are directed toward that person, but they can be directed toward ourselves. And when they are, that's when it's harder to be happy. It's harder to be satisfied. It's harder to be vulnerable and authentic because we have this thing that we're carrying around. And it's a burden. And we think it's about someone else, but really, it might just be about ourselves. And so when that comes up in my life, I say, you know what? I'm going to forgive myself. I'm going to forgive myself for how I showed up then. I'm going to forgive myself for not knowing any better. How could I have known better? If I had known better, I would have done something different. So I didn't know better, clearly. I'm going to forgive myself for not being the person I am today, because how could I have been? Am I angry at myself for not being the person I am today, who would have done different things, who would have made different choices? I'm going to forgive myself if that's in there, that's for sure. I forgive myself. I'm going to give myself a break because I didn't know any better back then, and I couldn't have shown up any differently, because if I could have, I would have. I forgive you, Paul. Then I can take that burden out of my life. I'm not saying it's super easy like that, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you can do that, and sometimes it works splendidly, and then you can move on. And then they can carry their own burden of any, I don't know, maybe they feel guilty, maybe they don't. Maybe they're proud of what they did if they wronged you, but I guarantee you there's going to be something that goes on in their life that isn't going to be pleasant for them. How can I guarantee that? I've seen it too often. People who do things to you and don't apologize, and they continue to be who they are in life. And they're going to make the wrong people upset, and they're going to carry around the burden of their own emotional state. Because people who hurt others, they're not really in the healthiest mental state or emotional state. They're not really in the best state of mind. They're not happy. There's something preventing them from being happy. Otherwise, they wouldn't feel the need to hurt people. So the need to hurt people comes from dysfunction or mental health issues. There's all kinds of reasons. But if you feel the need to hurt someone or they want to hurt you, there's something more that they're not dealing with inside themselves causing them to lash out. So they're probably carrying something around. So imagine if you let go of the burden of being upset at somebody else and they never did, then they're paying for their emotional crime. They're paying for it. They're carrying it around and they'll have to deal with it. And I don't wish that upon anyone. Hopefully they'll heal one day and maybe they'll even apologize one day. But at least you have gotten past any burdens by doing maybe one of the things I talked about today. Diving in, forgiving yourself, moving on. And all of these are a process and they take time sometimes. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're pretty quick, but it's a matter of bringing them up in your mind and even talking about it to somebody else, talking about what happened in your life with somebody you trust. And when you do that and you can start to let go of some of this stuff, you find that you feel lighter, you feel more free, and you allow people to go on their way and think what they think and feel what they feel and wish them well, I guess, if you want. You don't have to. You don't have to wish anyone well. You just know that you've done your part and they have to do theirs. They have to work on themselves. They have to heal, whatever they need to do. But you are not involved in that past version of what happened anymore. That's how you can move on. That's not who you are. It might have been who you were and how you showed up. It's not who you are anymore. Nobody listens to a show like this or any personal growth and development stuff is going to look into the past and say, yeah, I'm still that person. You can't, because you wouldn't be here now. You wouldn't be trying to expand your mind, improve your life. You wouldn't. So you are not that person. You are this person today, and you're going to be a different person tomorrow as you continue to expand and evolve. Learn, grow, heal, and evolve. That's what I used to say. So I hope this has been something useful for you today. I hope this has helped. I'm so glad you joined me, and thank you for showing up for another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I'm going to end it right here and let you know that I'll be right back with my thank yous and my goodbyes and my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our patrons this week, Sally, Maria, Leela, Christy, Andy, Deborah, and somebody donated. Who was that? Veronica. Veronica, I know you. I think you are already a patron. Well, you donated. I am so grateful for you. Thank you for doing that. I don't know what you heard that made you do that, but I'm grateful for you. Thank you so much. These people found value in the show, and they decided to give back, and that was very kind of them. I am very grateful. And if you'd like to give back, head over to moretob.com where you have options to do that. Thank you, patrons. I am very, very happy to have you in my life, and I am so grateful. So thank you again. And I'm going to tell you about a show that I do called Love and Abuse. I mentioned it earlier. Love and Abuse is a show on how to deal with difficult relationships. That's something I've been doing since 2019. It's another podcast that I do. So head over to loveandabuse.com if you're dealing with a difficult relationship. And I also run a program called Healed Being over at healedbeing.com. If you believe you're the difficult one in the relationship, you can get the first 4 lessons for free. Just head over to healedbeing.com and sign up. See if that's for you. It's hundreds or thousands, really, of people have taken it by now, and it's changing lives. So talk about vulnerability. I share a lot of stuff that I used to do in that program because I was that person. I was somebody that needed to heal and change. And I share everything over there, and specifically steps to help you heal and change if that's a position that you're in and you want to improve yourself and your relationships and maybe even salvage one that might be on the verge. So check it out over at healedbeing.com. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And I guess for my final words, I do have something to say. I have something that I want to share that might not be pleasant to hear. And that is, you know, talking about emotions today and feeling, connecting with your own emotions. But what if somebody can barely connect or not at all with their own emotions? Should you expect sympathy or empathy from them? It's a real question. If you know someone that can barely connect or has trouble connecting emotionally with themselves, do you expect them to be sympathetic or empathetic toward you? And if you do, I don't think I have very good news for you, because it's very difficult to connect with somebody else's emotional state when you can't connect with your own. Very difficult. Because what is their reference? What do they have as a frame of reference for emotions? Well, I know what hurt feels like, so they must be hurt because I know what that feels like. Or I know what love feels like, so they must be feeling love because I know what it feels like. You can see that if somebody doesn't know what it feels like, it's going to be hard to sympathize or empathize. And so I say that might be bad news, because I've heard from people that say, you know, my so-and-so is emotionally disconnected. They don't connect with themselves emotionally. They say they love me, but they just can't connect emotionally. They can't experience emotions like I do, or at all. I'm sure they're in there somewhere. Some people just put this huge wall up. I don't want to go there. Well, what often happens is that wall is protecting something very painful or something very hurtful or something that makes them feel out of control or weak or whatever. And they don't want to go there. So when we do that, when we put that big wall up so that people can't see our pain or our hurt or our vulnerabilities, we also block out the good ones. So I see our emotions as a big emotional pool. Everything's in there. All the good, all the bad, you know, quote, bad. All the feelings, all the emotional states that we can be in. Pain, shame, guilt, fear, happiness, sadness. All of that is in the same pool. And when you have bad feelings or hurt feelings or fear in there, and you don't want to experience it, if you put up a huge protective barrier between that and the world, or that and yourself, you probably won't experience the other good emotions too. And I, again, putting them in quote, not really good or bad. It's just they're emotional states. They're feelings, how you feel. I feel happy. I feel sad. I feel joy. I feel pain. I feel misery. I feel on and on. I am afraid. I am weak. I am helpless. You know, the thoughts are in there too. Thoughts are connected to all these emotions. But imagine what makes up that emotional pool and how much we're leaving out of life if we don't want to feel that fear or pain anymore, and we just put a big blockade to cover all of it. It's not selective. I mean, some people have learned how to feel emotional states without accessing those painful emotions, but is it full? Is it 100%? If somebody said, oh, I'm so happy, and I said, are you 100% happy? And they said, well, you know, I'm happy. I would question what they're holding on to. I'm not saying that everyone should feel 100% happy. I'm not even saying it's possible. I'm just saying when there's a hesitation, when you don't feel like you're reaching a potential of happiness, if that's your goal, or peace, if that's your goal, or even just comfort. How about being left alone? Just leave me alone. That'll make me feel good. I just want to feel good. When you don't feel good, there's something that's causing you to not reach that potential of feeling good. And sometimes it's what we're holding on to. Sometimes it's our environment. Sometimes it's the circumstances. Sometimes it's that damn person. That one person that won't stop doing what they're doing, that won't stop being who they are. How do I get past that, Paul? Listen to Love and Abuse. There's a lot I talk about over there. But yeah, I get it. I get it. There are people in our lives that show up and what? I don't want you in my life, or at least I don't want you to do that. Don't do that thing because it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me feel sad. It makes me feel angry. Don't do that thing. But we hold back and we're not authentic. And we don't say, hey, look, I have a line. You're crossing it. We might have to do that with some people. We may not be able to do that with some people because they're dangerous. But we might have to do. We might have to do that for ourselves. Hey, there's a line they're crossing. I better do something to protect me. And that's when we feel more comfortable in our own skin. When we feel more comfortable being vulnerable to ourselves. Wow, this is not working for me. It's scary, but I'm going to make a change. That's what I need to do for myself. It's scary. I'm going to do it, though, because I honor me. I respect me. I'm going to protect me because I love me. That's what I'm going to do. Not always easy to get to that state of mind in that place, but it's a nice place to be. It's a great place to be because you start feeling comfortable in your own skin, knowing that when you show up as authentic, wrapping this up, closing this loop, when you show up as authentic, as who you really are, you will lose people in your life. And it might be painful, but the people that stay in your life support you being who you are, support your authenticity, and want you to feel comfortable being yourself. I want you to be comfortable being yourself. I hope you can be as much as possible. Always keep an open mind. That's how it helps. You just keep an open mind because that's how you step into your power. And that's how you create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, in case I didn't make this clear before, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.